This is Unsocial Spectators with Clay Harrison and Mark Ramsey.
And you can find us at unsocialspectators.com and also at Unspectators on Twitter. All right, everyone, welcome to episode 19 of Unsocial Spectators.
Hey now.
Alrighty, so this week I have a question. Okay. I went to a bunch of concerts when I was a kid. Did you go to a lot of concerts?
I went to two concerts, and I actually still have the program from it.
Two concerts? Oh my God.
That's all I ever went to when I was in school, and they're the most polar opposite of bands.
Oh, which ones?
I went and saw Heart.
Yeah.
The Wilson Sisters. I think it was their Alone tour. And then I went and saw Run DMC,
Public Enemy,
Salt-N-Pepa. It was like a whole group of like
characters, like Salt-N-Pepa. Yeah, I remember that tour. Yeah, that's cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so they played Reunion Arena, and I still have the Run DMC program from that show.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was kind of a concert fanatic. The first concert I ever went to was Elton John. I was 10 years old, and he played under the St. Louis Arch during, it was like during 4th of July. And Quarter Flash opened for him then.
Yeah.
And I think, what's his name? Bob Hope was there. And it was weird, you know. Bob Hope and Elton John just doesn't really mix.
I did see Elton John when I was older at Starplex.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen Elton four or five times. He's awesome. But I saw Nine Inch Nails before anyone had ever seen them in a club of 200 people in Oklahoma.
Wow.
I mean,
in Oklahoma too. That doesn't seem like the Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, we drove up there, you know, to see, and I mean, just. I've seen some. What's the best show you've seen?
Shit, I don't know. You know, I just haven't seen that many shows, and
okay.
I would probably say like maybe Ben Folds 5. They played like Deep Ellum, and that was like the coolest show, and I really got into his music after that. And because like near the end, like one of the encores, he started playing Snoop Dogg songs, and it was just something you just didn't expect. And to this day, I still remember that encore.
Yeah, that's cool. I think the best show I ever saw was Dire Straits at Reunion Arena in 1992. It was the tightest set I've ever seen, you know. It was almost like they were lip-syncing, but they weren't. You could tell that it was a little different. Now, I did go see ZZ Top, and they were fucking lip-syncing then. I don't know if...
Oh, really?
I think it was when they were on heroin, and, you know, so everything was slow, unless they lip-sync, you know. It was really bad. People were looking at each other in the concert, like, what the fuck is going on, you know?
Okay, I have to reevaluate my answer, because I forgot that when I was in college, I saw Van Halen play live.
Mm-hmm.
They did a surprise show, and it was Van Hagar at the time. But
was that the one in downtown Dallas?
Yeah,
I was there.
Oh, really? Yeah. So that was the coolest show ever because it was pre-internet, so you only found out by word of mouth.
Yeah, and the radio, you know.
Well, no, I'd heard from people.
Yeah, I heard from the radio. The reason why they did that is because they had played at the Monsters of Rock, and I went to that, and they had said that, you know, Hagar's voice wasn't working well then, and so that's why they played that Dallas show.
Yeah, they said they promised that they would play a free show and played it in West End.
Yeah,
and I went down there with like four buddies. We're all packed in a car, and just like at the part where we were at, you could stand. And one of the guys goes, "I'm going to the front," and he just tried to get in there. And he goes, "At times, he goes, I would just lift my feet up, and the crowd would move me.
Sure,
because it was so packed." And so out of control. But I don't remember anything bad happening. I just remember it being a good vibe. They did trash a lot of the trees and stuff. People climbed a lot of things.
Of course.
But I don't remember it being really like controlled by police or anything like that. It was just a gathering.
Nah. Yeah, they probably didn't pay any cops or security to be there. So, but yeah, I went to that Monsters of Rock tour with Van Halen, Metallica, Scorpions, Dokken, Kingdom Come. Yeah, that was a good show too. I'll try to list all the bands I've seen. It's amazing. Willie Nelson. A wide variety. Snoop Dogg. I've seen...
I did see James Taylor.
I haven't seen Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, another Starplex, you know, chill on the lawn.
I was at the Nirvana Tree Show.
Oh, really? That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I was there. I've seen Tiny Tim, at Club Dada back in the day. I've seen, Scorpions. I've seen, Robert Plant. I've seen The Dead after they were, the Grateful Dead that became The Dead. I saw them. I've seen they played at Woolly's Picnic.
Yeah,
that was fun. Oh my God, just I've seen B.B. King. I've seen.
I'm pretty sure I probably saw Edie Brickell down in Denton, you know, because she played down there a lot when I was going to school, but I was always like whacked out of her brain.
My sister used to hang out with the band. We knew them, the guitar player, and, you know, we would hang out when they would rehearse, you know, for before they got big, you know.
Yeah.
I was into the hippie scene, and I was also into the metal scene and the classic rock. I've seen Rush. I've seen Eric Clapton.
Oh, wow.
I've seen Paul McCartney. I've seen Steely Dan. Def Leppard.
Fucking Steely Dan would be the best. I'd love Steely Dan.
You name it. Joe Walsh, maybe three times. I saw him when he came back with the James Gang. I've seen the Eagles.
All I could start to think of was I just thought of like two Denton bands I know I saw. It was like Tripping Daisies and Bowling Pursuit.
I know the guy from Tripping Daisies. I've seen his other band backstage.
Polyphonic Spree.
Polyphonic Spree, yeah, know those guys. I just all kinds of stuff, man. All different kinds of genres. I've just been like a concert hall. I've been to maybe 20 Widespread Panic shows.
Yeah, I never got into that, and most of the shows I've ever gone to have been because somebody else wanted to go. Except for the rap show, you know, like our Run DMC was a, like I, that was music I had gone, I've never heard anything like this, I want to see this.
I saw Public Enemy too.
They were doing the whole military moves and stuff with Terminator X and shit up front. That shit, and you're like one of the few white people in the crowd. You're just watching them like execute this military style shit. It's like it's authoritarian.
I've seen Taj Mahal, amazing. Robert Cray. I saw Stevie Ray Vaughan at State Fair Banshell back in the day. Bob Dylan.
Really?
Man, I've saw everybody, man. I really did.
I gotta do some Bob Dylan research. For some reason...
Oh, Dylan's awesome, yeah.
On the new Disney Plus show, I'm watching Moon Knight. The villain that's in it is, you know, a self-proclaimed prophet. And every time he's on, his intro music is Bob Dylan.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to figure out why specifically that. Does that have any other like layers of meaning to it?
Probably just curious. The creator, like Dylan, you know.
Yeah.
But a lot of people call Dylan prophet too, you know. So
what do you have a favorite show or a memorable show out of all the bunch?
Let's see. We drove to Denver to see the other ones, which was a different split off of The Dead when they had stopped touring. Oh, I saw Jerry Garcia Band too in there. I've seen Fish. I've seen so many bands. Metallica, Anthrax, Megadeth. Kicks.
That was Monsters of Rock tour right
Slayer,
there.
Slayer, I've seen. Halloween, I've seen.
Wow, that's
it just keeps going, you know? Just everything. I think the most, we went up to Denver. And it was back when I had my van, the Love Machine. And because I had a bed that folded down in the back. We went up there. We had some mushrooms. And before we got into the concert, we dosed a bunch of mushrooms. And... here's the key. Put the mushrooms in a coffee grinder to make it like all ground up.
Really?
And yeah, then you put it in orange soda so you can't taste them. And drink it that way. It's the best. It's good in tea, too.
Tea?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I've got some, and I just haven't been in the right headspace to try it.
Yeah, but that's what I recommend is
A tea or an orange drink.
Orange cuts all the shit. I mean, it's shit mushrooms. They grow in shit, you know.
Yeah.
So it'll cut that taste, but.
But just the tea, like, do you try to use something that drowns out?
Yeah.
Or a heavy, like, flavored tea. Okay.
A lemon zinger, because the citrus, the orange, and, you know, that'll...
That makes sense.
Drown out the mushroom taste, the bitterness, you know.
I'd always heard to eat it with peanut butter. Like,
I've never heard of that. I mean, I used to eat them straight, you know, before I figured out that trick. We went up there. I'd taken a whole lot of mushrooms, and the show started, and the crowd just started undulating. Like this wave, and it was pretty fucking cool, you know. And then afterwards, I like to go to a concert where there's a lot of trippers, and play fuck with the trippers after the show. So you always find the trippers, they're all like hanging around a statue or over in a corner, and you would go over there and ask them questions that make no fucking sense, you know?
see how they respond?
Yeah, have you seen any walruses with plaid pants today? You know, just... stuff that blows her fucking mind. They're, no, man. No, I haven't seen any walruses with plaid pants. I said, oh. Yeah, it was on the other side of the show. And then you're with a friend, you know, working off him. And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, that was... His name was, was Steve. You know, and you just start building these crazy ideas and fucking with the trippers. I just love doing that.
Well, do you have any advice for taking it? Because I have some that I've wanted to take, but my headspace has not been good lately, so I don't want to take something and have a bad trip. Or does it help you sort yourself out in some ways, too?
It depends on person.
Okay.
I haven't seen a lot of mushroom people who take mushrooms who have bad trips. Don't freak out if you throw up. It's normal.
Okay.
Acid is a whole different ball game. Acid can be bad if you're in a bad headspace. Sometimes you may want a babysitter, because you can make bad decisions.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you can. I wanted to try it and just I do with weed.
Have you ever done before?
No.
Oh, I definitely have a babysitter that has done it before, just in case, you know?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I thought about even just taking a small dose to see how I react and how I do. Because I've heard people like microdose mushrooms,
yeah.
And uh-huh. That seems like a lot. I don't know.
A lot of people microdose every day.
Yeah.
If they're a lot of creative people do it, you know?
Yeah.
Artists and, so it's pretty common, you know. They microdose THC too. You can get, in Texas, THC gummies. They're microdose gummies.
Where?
You can just order them online. They're legal in Texas.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah, just as long as they're a certain
small dose.
Yeah, small dose, but take five.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I mean,
I, I don't take the require, you know, like when it tells you like how much is in one serving of gummy bears, I'm like, okay, well, how much is the bag? Because I'm going to eat the whole bag. I would probably do the same thing with those kinds of edibles. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've had those kind of edibles and, you know, just to do like one or half a one, but I could eat a couple.
Yeah, it depends on your tolerance or whatever. But yeah. If you're going to take mushrooms, please don't operate heavy machinery.
Dude, I don't operate heavy machinery now, so.
Well, you know what I mean. You know, just, yeah. Don't go.
All I want to do is chill the fuck out.
Yeah, don't go in the kitchen and use a blender. You know, just common sense that you. The problem is, it's hard to have common sense if you've never done before. I mean, I could take this shit and do anything I normally do, but I had a lot of practice, you know. I mean, it's like everyone's going, oh, I hope I don't have a flashback. And I'm like, every day I'm... Please, can I have a flashback? Because I've never had a flashback. I have no idea what they're talking about every day. Please, can I have a flashback? Okay, enough of that stuff.
What you been watching?
So, for 1974, I chose Death Wish.
Yes.
The Charles Bronson classic, featuring a very, very, very young, what is his name?
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum in a Jughead hat as a rapist.
Yeah.
Killer rapist, you know.
Yeah, not the Jeff Goldblum we all know and love now. He was a street thug.
So I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about how at that time in New York there was a movement of kind of a right-wing movement of these people that were construction workers and stuff, and they were kind of anti-hippie.
Yeah.
And anti-hoodlums or kids or whatever. And this kind of... There was a movie called Joe. And then Death Wish, and they were both playing on that idea.
Is that Joe, the Gene Hackman movie?
No. Joe, who's the guy from Everybody Loves Raymond, the old guy?
Popeye Doyle.
Yeah, Popeye Doyle. Frankenstein.
Frankenstein, yeah. Peter Boyle.
Peter Boyle was in Joe, and he was this right-wing guy that was screaming like Archie Bunker, you know, and then goes shoots a bunch of hippies, you know. It's the same kind of thing, how both of them are similar, you know. This was playing on the backlash to the hippies, you know. For this movie to come out. And it did very well in theaters and is considered a real classic, you know?
Well, it had so many people try to... I mean, there are Death Wish knockoffs, The Exterminator, all kinds of...
Bruce Willis was in Death Wish 2. Or the remake.
It's, dude, I love Bruce Willis, but that was during his sick time.
Yeah, it's pretty abysmal.
It is so fucking terrible because it just looks like he's enjoying himself through the whole movie while he kills people. He never seems to mourn for his family or anything. And you're just like going, the tone of this is so off. Yeah. And it seems like it's shot like very bright and illuminated.
Yeah, it's like weird. It's a weird take on that film, you know?
But I have a recommendation of the real remake that I think is grittier than the Bronson one. And it's Kevin Bacon in Death Sentence.
Huh.
2007, Kevin Bacon, Death Sentence. It is so fucking hardcore and awesome.
Death Sentence.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to look that one up. My dogs just realized I haven't fed them. God damn it, I forgot about that.
Oh, they'll live.
Yeah, they just may get a little verbal in here for a minute or two.
Oh, that's fine. But yeah, I mean, if you haven't seen Death Wish, it's definitely in the top 100 action movies of all time, you know?
Yeah. And how many would we get? 5 sequels out of that?
Too many.
Yeah, there were too many. They come back in the second one for, I forget, it's all the same thing, but it's just like, and then it just gets to the point where he just starts randomly killing people.
And then every Bronson movie after Death Wish is him killing people, you know? It's the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, it may be the best Bronson film for me. Let me put my dogs outside real quick okay. So they'll be quiet.
Do 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 I think he's coming back.
All right.
So, yeah, what'd you watch for 74? Once Upon a Time in the West is my favorite Charles Bronson movie.
Okay, all right. I might even throw Dirty Dozen, but I mean, no, he's just a piece of that.
Yeah.
But, man, that movie's so stacked and awesome.
Yeah. He's good in The Great Escape, too.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. For 1974, I picked Black Belt Jones.
Oh yeah, I saw it too.
I this was a film I kind of sought out for a while because when I was a kid, like locally, they showed a lot of like blaxploitation films on like UHF channels, and I don't remember quite when it started, but you know these were just non-traditional films. I was like seeing a different part of America in most of them, even though and it varies on what you see, whether it's good or bad. But there was always like street violence and pimps and hoes and all that, and Black Belt Jones though worked for the system,
yeah,
and and had a bizarre use of trampolines in the film.
Yeah, I was kind of because it was his first time I've seen it, and I was like, wow, that's kind of weird, you know, but it was a hook, I guess.
Yeah, you also, Scatman Crothers is in it. You know, the great Scatman Crothers.
Yeah, Scatman with a weird haircut.
Very weird.
I was so used to him being bald, you know.
But what was great is kind of going through it and taking, you know, the time and knowledge I know from some of these films and kind of checking them out. Because blaxploitation, they said, started in 71. But so we're like 4 years into blaxploitation films, or 3 years, But then I read another, because it said some of the first Blaxploitation, two came out in 1971, but Cotton Comes to Harlem came out in 1970 as kind of the first one.
Which also has Scatman Crothers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was a regular in a lot of
them. Yeah.
Jim Kelly got this, he got a three-pitcher deal coming out of Enter the Dragon. And so this was one of them, and Hot Potato, the sequel, and then he did Free the Hard Way.
Oh, okay.
And Living Large, the guy was the first African-American to break into martial arts films like this. He went on to retire in Southern California and just be a professional tennis coach.
Oh, good for him.
I mean, just living that good life. I was just like, well, that's pretty awesome. And then I also noticed the boss of the Street Thugs, Pinky.
Yeah.
He has kind of a Dolomite moment in there. And this predates Dolomite by a few years. So I was kind of surprised to see him doing the walk and talk and rhyming that Rudy Ray Jones does in this, years before Dolomite ever gets back. The director of this also directed one of the weirdest movies ever made. All Gen Xers remember when gymnastics were huge in the 80s, and we got the movie Gymkhana.
Yeah.
With Kurt Thomas as a gymnastics martial artist.
Fucking weird movie, man. I mean,
I follow Matt Singer online, one of the writers for Screen Crush, and he loves on that cult movie so much. It's great.
Just a weird fucking movie, man. I mean,
yeah. Another tie to some of my past movies, Eric, I cannot say his last name, Lanavelle. He's like one of the kids that works in the dojo.
Uh-huh.
He's also the kid in Omega Man who gets sick for a little bit, but then gets healed and runs away with the kids at the end. So it was kind of neat to see him show up again. I think he ends up going on to do ER. He's he's one of the doctors in ER, or not ER, in St. Elsewhere.
St. Elsewhere. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and the co-star in this movie, Gloria Hendry, I looked her up. She was like the second Black Bond girl.
Yeah, she was.
And she's a badass. I mean, she uses some vulgar language in this movie. I mean, she threatens dudes. She threatens their masculinity a lot.
That's yeah, for God's sakes. How many times does she kick somebody in the balls in that movie, or hit somebody in the balls?
Well, she calls dudes. She just threatens them. Like when she comes in there to beat that first guy up, she warns him that she goes, "When I'm done with you, I will make you look like a sad faggot."
Yeah,
and I'm like, "What the? Where the Jesus?"
Exactly.
And then later, Jim Kelly is like. They're like there's this bizarre flirting that is very aggressive, and he's like trying to get with her, and she's like, you need to try harder, and he's like, look, I'm not hunting, I'm not like he made it seem like it was just going to be a chase, and she's like, what are you, some case? She calls him a faggot again. I'm like,
yeah.
Man, she's like, you got to come and take it.
Yeah.
And she's like egging him on to just come on.
This is a weird
fucking message to send.
She's used to Bond,
Oh, man. But like her and Rosalind Cash both in, or who was in Omega Man 2, man, it was like, these were early African American women that I saw that I didn't really see in real life that were badass, talk shit, and would kick. I mean, they would just kick your fucking ass with karate or whatever.
Yeah, like coffee.
Yeah, yeah. So there's some other people that also pop up in this. Ted Lang.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Marla Gibbs pops up.
Yep.
It's just it's a fun movie with all the people that you see in it. It's really funny because I'm pretty sure the pool scene that they shoot in it, in the pool hall, is the scene that is riffed in Black Dynamite.
Oh, yeah. The funniest line from the movie is he's on the phone, he gets off the phone, and there's all the karate kids around him, and he goes, "Let's go to McDonald's!"
Everybody is high-fiving and excited as fuck. I mean, it was like McDonald's paid for half their budget.
I know.
McDonald's so well.
It's so crazy. I had to videotape. It was so crazy. But
the only other notes I had on here is the director wrote a book about Bruce Lee that was heavily used in Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. So he had a lot of commentary and talk about that because he had also directed him in Enter the Dragon.
Oh my God. Bruce Lee, just so much fun. I'm about to watch Fist of Fury and Way of the Dragon. Both of them are on Pluto now, so they're free. Yeah. I love those films. I used to rent those movies every weekend almost. The same movies over and over again. So, what else have you been watching?
I've been jumping on Shudder because I haven't watched any horror movies in a while. And uh-huh. They have a new season of a series called Cursed Films.
Uh-huh.
So they kind of jump into a film like Wizard of Oz and go through all of the urban legends.
Cool.
You know, the people or the little people partying and one guy hung himself that's caught in the bathroom. They address all of it, though, in detail. But the best part is that they have the director on who from 1980 or 81's Under the Rainbow. You know, the movie with Chevy Chase.
I saw it in the theater.
Yeah. So Chevy Chase and Carrie Fisher in this. And the movie is about the making the hotel where all the little people who played the Munchkins in Wizard of Oz stayed and all the partying that happens. And then there's kind of a plot about a super spy and some other bullshit.
Not much of a plot.
No, not at all. It's really just a reason to show them partying and getting drunk. And the Billy Barty playing a Nazi is very weird. There's like a good 10 minutes where they just talk about that movie and have the director on. And I have never seen this in my life, but the director goes, "You know, I really thought we were progressive at the time." And he goes, "There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about the embarrassment of that film." Like, he just... He was sickened by it. It was weird to see that he was just so torn. Because, I mean, as a kid, I just watched it and thought it was fun. I didn't see all the, you know, negativity to it. But you can still rent it on Google Play for $5.
Oh, I met Bill Lombardi. He was one of my father's customers. My dad made his hairpiece.
And fuck, that's awesome.
I was at the shop, and I used to put on the barber capes, you know, the ones you put behind me and act like I was Batman and run around the salon. And one day Bill Lombardi was there, and I was taller than him.
Oh, man. To me, I love him in this because he's played a weird character. He played it in so many different things, but Foul Play is one of my favorite movies that he's in. And it just cracks me up, that whole fight he has with Goldion.
I know we just lost Gilbert Gottfried, but Gilbert used to tell me a story tell on his podcast. The story of Mel Brooks's movie Life Stinks.
Yeah.
That Brooks wanted him to play the Billy Barty role, but Billy Barty won the part from Gilbert, you know. And Gilbert always would say, Yeah, I lost a movie role to Billy Barty. So, yeah, you know, just one of Gilbert's short stories.
Oh, dude, he had a ton of... I want to go back and, like, find the best of, but you will always end up at the Aristocrats.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the Gilbert documentary?
Fuck, I thought I had.
It's called Gilbert.
I'll have to look it up then.
Yeah, it's free on three different channels for free, you know. Roku TV, I think, and
probably Pluto.
Maybe TV. Pluto or something. Or Tubi, yeah, or something like that. But it's really worth a watch. So I started watching Atlanta on Hulu.
Yeah. Pretty good. Finished it. Yeah, how far are you into it?
Two episodes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm really enjoying it. Yeah.
I got very Gen X with my Paramount Plus subscription and started watching Behind the Music, the new relaunch. Yeah, well, they did LL Cool J and Huey Lewis, and
there's a mix.
Yeah, well, it was they have 10 episodes on there. The first one is Ricky Martin, and I really don't
know
Ricky Martin.
Hard no.
But I loved LL Cool J because that was like some of the first rap I ever heard. And so I was super excited to just see. And a lot of it is the old story, him reacting to it, and then where he is now kind of stuff, and updated interviews. I used to put that shit on, and just all Sunday it would just be VH1, you know, Behind the Music. It's neat because now they kind of have, like, LL Cool J would have somebody on as, like, a friend or someone that looked up to him. And Eminem is on in it the whole time talking about how when he first got LL Cool J's radio, everyone had to listen to it all the time. He just played the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And it's neat to see him as a super fan. Him kind of gush about LL Cool J.
Speaking of which, I've seen LL Cool J live and Huey Lewis.
Oh, fuck, really?
Yeah.
Huey Lewis and I share a birthday.
Oh, really? I share a birthday with Bob Marley.
Oh, hey now. Well, the Huey Lewis one was good. I did not know that he has gone deaf. Or partially.
Done. Yes. That's why I don't think he tours anymore.
Yeah, it actually happened in Dallas. Mm-hmm. It was like one of his last live shows, and then has put the Heart of Rock and Roll as kind of a, I guess maybe it's a Broadway show, and so he has other people working with him, and they're kind of still doing a musical, so he still kind of can do work.
Sure.
But like his buddy on, he, I guess he's friends with Jimmy Kimmel. He introduced and talked a lot of his history and stuff. And it was really kind of nice to hear because he was very positive and uplifting about, you know, he's like, I could be dead, but
sure,
you know, he's living with this and
all he has to do is change one letter from deaf to dead.
Oh, Jesus.
But the look on your face was, huh?
I was like, shit, now I gotta figure this out. what else? You got anything else you've been watching?
Oh, I've been watching a ton of stuff. Usually half of the shit sucks, you know, so I don't even...
Oh, yeah.
Put it down, but speaking of LL Cool J, I watched the Beastie Boys story on Apple TV Plus, and LL is the Beasties tell a story of them going to Def Jam you know, they went over to this place and LL Cool J was learning how to break dance. And, you know.
What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought that was
There's
pretty
an
funny.
Origin story.
So yeah, I saw. Speaking of Shudder, I saw a movie called The Cellar.
Cellar.
Check it out. Really, really good horror film. On Shudder. I have AMC Plus, and they have a lot of Shudder stuff on there. You know.
Well, yeah, I watched one called The Intruder. From 1989.
Mm-hmm.
It's what's kind of great is I saw it had Sam Raimi, Ted Raimi, and Bruce Campbell, and it all is in a grocery store.
Huh.
So it's like this small town grocery store, and it's so funny. And I had read that this was actually an abandoned grocery store, so they bought bulk damaged food and had to stock the entire place to make it look like a grocery store, because they do like overhead shots, so it has to look like a big grocery store.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. I mean, it's about the kills. This one is all about the kills. They're all fun. They're all insane. They're
awesome.
All like, you know, go to the butcher shop and just go crazy with the machinery in there.
Yeah. I love crazy kill movies. Speaking of which, I saw 2009 remake of Friday the 13th. Not good.
Yeah, I have not heard one person say that was a good
film. Not good at all. And another not good movie, The Bubble. What a shit movie. What's his name? He directed it. It's supposed to be about making a dinosaur movie in the COVID bubble. It's... who's the guy who made 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Oh, Judd Apatow.
Yeah, he made this Netflix movie, The Bubble. Total shit, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, total shit.
He has hits and misses.
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody does, you know. Yeah. Now, I went to the theater, and I saw...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe one of the best films I've seen in 10 years. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
All at Once.
It's
okay.
Fucking amazing. Five stars. Give him 6 stars if I could. Didn't have enough stars for this movie.
Fuck, that sounds awesome.
Short Round is awesome. Spoiler alert, Short Round fights a bunch of people with a fanny pack.
Well, you had me at Short Round.
Yeah.
I've been seeing the actor's name pop up everywhere because...
yeah, he hadn't acted since Data, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, fuck. And someone goes, you know, he could take over the Indiana Jones franchise.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, you know? So, I totally recommend that film. Great stuff. I saw a movie that you recommended, Trilogy of Terror.
Oh my God, yes. So, what'd you think?
The Karen Black Vehicle.
Yes.
Really, you know.
Statue.
Yeah, good stuff, you know. I mean, for its time, pretty good stuff. And because it was a TV movie, it wasn't very gory or anything, but it was fun, you know. More creepy than gory.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with that creepy doll. That creepy doll is great because I've seen it shown up in other shows and stuff, and I always go, what is that from? But I forget it's an anthology.
Yeah. But I did see Coda, the Oscar-winning yeah. film on Apple TV Plus. Really good. Really, yeah. You know, I understand why it won, you know. Although Pig was better. Pig was fucking great. Should have okay. won an Oscar.
I'm going to have you get in contact with Kyle Condis. This morning on our show, he just goes, I just don't like Nicolas Cage in anything. And the chat, me and Daniel both lost it. We were like, what about this? What about that? And he goes, so what?
This
is his last Oscar.
On Tuesday, I'm going to go see the new Nick Cage movie.
Yes, and it looks awesome.
Yeah, I know. look, Kyle doesn't like anything that doesn't have a Transformer in it.
Well, you need to holler at it, man, and say, here are your Nicolas Cage films.
I mean, Leaving Las Vegas, Jesus Christ, what a man, good film.
Such a bummer.
Yeah.
It's a heavy. But then I love Mandy. I think I've watched Mandy twice, and that is a movie I feel most people should only watch once, but that's the most full Nicolas Cage thing I've ever seen in my life.
Last Man Standing? For God's sakes.
Last Man Standing.
Wasn't that Nicolas Cage in that?
That's Bruce Willis.
What was the Nicolas Cage movie where he was on death row?
Fuck, I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
The Life of David Gale?
No. No, that's Kevin
Spacey.
Oh,
he produced it. That's why I was going to say he produced it.
Well, never mind. Maybe I'm confused.
Bring Out the Dead?
Nah, never mind. I saw Speed Racer for the first time.
What'd you think? Yeah, it's weird.
It's colorful.
American. Yeah.
There's no Asians in it. No, maybe, yeah, there's some, but not enough. I mean, dude, John Goodman, for God's sakes? Come on.
It's weird because Speed Racer was a Japanese show that was adapted to American audiences, edited not only in scenes but in dialogue too. So there's an American interpretation of what that show is, and I believe that's what the Wachowskis showed in that film. I know fans who love it, but I need to revisit it to see what am I missing.
Look, it's a good comic book type of anime interpretation. The colors, you know, that the style of it, but it's not a good movie, you know.
I don't know. I'll have to rewatch. I do love the look of it.
Yeah,
I think they nailed a lot of things.
I agree.
Yeah, you know, Christina Ricci as Trixie is fucking spot on.
Oh yeah, was it Christina Ricci? Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? I thought it was somebody else.
She's Trixie. Susan Sarandon plays the mom.
Yeah, I know that, but I didn't.
And Racer X is Matt Fox.
I didn't think it was Trixie. I thought it was some other girl.
Isn't Trixie Speed's girlfriend?
I don't think so. Yeah, it's his girlfriend.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm confused now. There. Okay. When I tried to look it up, there's Young Trixie. And I had clicked that button, you know, and saw somebody else. And I was like, huh, okay. But no, she does play a good one. Yeah, I mean, the movie, I just kind of got a little bored, you know, and not the best. So I saw for the first time The Black Cauldron, the Disney film.
Oh, what'd you think?
I don't know why it was a bomb. I mean, that film almost killed Disney Animation, you know?
I think it was the darkest film that they had put out.
Yeah.
The film before that, I think, might be The Aristocats, which was just a singing, you know, a musical about
Yeah,
cats.
stupid cat movie. I mean, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it because it was dark, you know. So that was kind of cool. I saw The Tragedy of Macbeth, the Denzel Washington as Macbeth. Really, really good film, man. Yeah, he did a very good interpretation. Very believable Macbeth, you know. And I think Branagh's Macbeth is my favorite, but this might be second, you know.
Oh, cool.
I revisited a couple of 80s, 90s films. Color Money. I love that
Tom
movie.
Cruise.
I love that fucking movie.
Yeah, Paul Newman.
Paul Newman is so good in that film, man.
The hair that Tom Cruise has.
Oh, it's hilarious, man. And Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, right after I saw Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, Into Fear and Loathing. Oh,
wow.
My God, what a day.
I love Fear and Loathing. That is my go-to, like, weed movie.
Yeah.
Like, if I just want to sit high and chill and watch something weird, that is
it. Yeah, the bats are attacking, you know.
Tobey Maguire is in that movie.
Yeah, and here's Tobey Maguire's acting in that movie.
he's fucking freaking out, and then he takes off running. That's
I know. It's fucking crazy. And I like when Depp is tripping and he runs into the real Hunter S. Thompson in the crowd. It's just wow, that was crazy.
Get trippier than that, man.
But yeah, let's see if I watched the Tom Cruise Greyhound, a World War II film on Apple TV Plus about captain of a destroyer trying to take a convoy over to the Britain and fighting against all the submarines. Pretty good film.
I don't remember that one at all.
Yeah, it came out a couple years ago, you know, but it's only on Apple TV. You can't get DVDs from anything on Apple TV. They're just, Apple.
Yeah, fuck them. I will watch their content some way.
Yeah, they fuck with people. You fuck Apple.
I would like to stake my claim for the next movie.
Oh, okay. I have a feeling I know which one it is. Go ahead.
I am going to watch A Boy and His Dog.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. What did you think it was?
Well, I have two possibilities. One of them I stake a claim on. Jaws and Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, okay.
And
I can't believe we're not even doing Holy Grail.
Yeah, that was the third one. But I'm going to take Cuckoo's Nest. I think it's... I love Jaws, but of the two films, I think Cuckoo's Nest is the best Jack Nicholson film.
Man, there's a lot of good movies that year.
Yeah, it's a good year for films.
And so this will be like the 10th one we've done. So from 65 to 75, I don't know, I'm trying to think of some kind of summary of what we've seen so far. And what does it tell us?
Nothing. It tells us nothing.
I think the interesting thing is we're about to see the summer of, or the creation of the summer movie.
Yeah.
And the thing I've always looked at in Wikipedia is the amount these movies have made. And they're like a high-end movie may make $50 million.
Yeah, until Jaws.
Until Jaws. And then that's how we got to Marvel movies.
Yeah, and the creation of the blockbuster, you know?
Yeah. But actually, I have to go pee, so...
Okay. Luckily, we're done.
Yes. So, next week will be 1975, and I'm going to be bringing Harlan Ellison's A Boy and His Dog.
Okay.
And that's one I also own the comic of. I'm excited. I like talking Harlan Ellison. He's a crazy old man, or was a crazy old man.
Yeah, I met Harlan once at a at a book signing. He didn't do a lot of book signings either.
No, he didn't. He was that's wild. I know Patton Oswalt has met with him and knew him a lot, and wrote upon his passing. I'd be interested to just hear the stories he carries with him.
Yeah, kind of a dick.
Yeah, on the dick agenda thing. But also had a lot of his material stolen over the years.
Yeah.
You know, Terminator actually, he sued James Cameron for Terminator and got a screen credit for it because his story was so close to what the Terminator was.
Yeah, I agree. All right, everyone, we'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Later.